Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see everybody. It's going to be a good morning. That was good. Thank you, Janice. Thank you, Hannah. I think we should give them another hand. It doesn't just happen that people lead us into worship. It takes lots of practice and really a heart and a passion for Jesus himself. So I'm so thankful that we're surrounded by so many people and musicians that just love the Lord and serve us in that way. So it was just good to sing to the Lord. Boy, we get to keep going this morning. You know, all over the world today, people are in a place of corporate worship where we come together as a church. People come in different churches all over the world to pursue God, you know, and some folks in secret. There's persecution. There's places in the world where, my goodness, this wouldn't be happening. We wouldn't have the freedom to come to a place and pursue God together. But thankfully, you and I are in a place where we have the freedom to do that. And I'm so excited. I am privileged this morning to be with you to look at John chapter 14. Verses 15 through 31, and that's going to be our backdrop of what we look at. But there are some just really deep and profound truths as I've had the joy of pursuing God's word myself. I was thinking this morning that, oh my, do we really get to do this? Because we do. We get to hear from God. We believe at this church that God's word is our authority, that we come under the authority of God himself. And we believe Jesus is God. And today, in today's portion of scriptures, this is actually part 28 of the series that we've titled Knowing Jesus. This is part 28. So there's just a number of different opportunities we've had, 28 different weekends that are different locations that we've dug into God's word. And we get to continue to do that this morning. What a privilege! Just don't take it lightly. I would just encourage you this morning. If you need more coffee, so be it. Have some, but don't miss out on God's word. Please just pay attention to what God might have for you. There's a handout in your bulletin that has the verses in it and some things in there you could fill in some. If God speaks to your heart, I'd recommend you write it down. But this is God's word. I believe he can reveal himself to you this morning. This is God's word. He can teach us. So we want to really focus on him. And I've titled this, I Will Come to You. In this portion of scripture, that's the promise we hear from Jesus himself. I will come to you. Think about that. God himself, the creator of the universe, I will come to you. Whoa. That's a promise from Jesus, from God. I will come to you. And God is a promise keeper. So this morning, we can cling to that. What exactly is he saying? What do you mean? Are you really going to come? Do you really mean it? Yes, he does. He comes through, and it's just really profound in how he manifests himself. It's just incredible how we have God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and we see a picture of that in today's portion as a backdrop. We see a picture of God himself revealing himself to mankind. Wow. It's incredible. Now, if you ever had someone that has told you, I will come to you. I talked to my dad on the phone yesterday, and I said, I will come to you. I'm coming to Iowa in May, and I will come see you, Dad. Or if you had someone was coming to your house, oftentimes we'll have Bible studies in my home, and when we invite people and they say, I will come to your Bible study. My wife and I sometimes will make preparations to, we even clean the house once in a while. So people will come over. We want them, when they come to our house, we want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel comfortable. We want them to think, well, I've come into something here. I've come into something. These people are sincere, and they love me, and they care about me. My mom is the queen at this. She always has been. Whenever I would come and visit her, as I became an adult, those times became fewer and fewer. But when I would come, she would always make something special that she knew that I liked, a memory that she had, like lemon bars or something. It's like, how'd you know? I wanted a lemon bar, Mom. Big hug. Oh, I love you. I'm so glad you're home, Steve. You know, maybe in some way, maybe there's a response. Maybe there's a responsibility for us to welcome God. Wouldn't that just make sense? You're welcome here, God. I like the song that Tony Mahaly sings. You're welcome here, God. You're welcome. You're welcome into my life. You're welcome. I'm glad you're here. You're welcome. Oh, boy, do I need you today. I'm glad you're here in this moment. You're welcome here. And that's just kind of the preface that I want to use for a backdrop on this is just simply three ways to welcome God. Using these scriptures as a backdrop, we'll dig in a little deeper. But I'm going to pray one more time, and let's just welcome God. God, I love you. I thank you for a room full of people, Lord. I trust that was your doing, God, that you rounded us up. You brought us together this morning. Whether one or 1,000, Lord, we love you and we need you. And as much as it is up to us, God, I just want to welcome you here, God. Thank you that you didn't leave us hanging, that you are God and you have intention with every single one of us. God, every single person in this room, Lord, you have intentions, you have plans, you have desires, you care about each and every one of us. And I praise you and I thank you for that, God. I just ask you, just your will be done. Have your way with us this morning, God. Speak to us in these next few moments. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So again, the portion of scripture we're at is in John, the New Testament. We'll be in John chapter 14, and starting with verse 15. How we're going to do this is I'll share most of the verses will be on the screen. You got your handout or your smartphone or your old-fashioned paper Bible. And I would encourage you to read these verses and so that God might speak to you, so you might hear from him. And we'll start with verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So Jesus himself, this is the first thing he says. We're shifting gears from what Caleb shared last week. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will do what I say. If you love me, there will be a response. Our actions often speak, don't they? What you do speaks loudly. I can hardly hear what you're saying. You know, for us, when we do things, we can voice things. We can be like false teeth on the corner here. But good and bad, what we do speaks volumes, doesn't it? I mean, you can talk the talk. But do you talk the talk and do you walk the walk? Boy, I need help with that. I don't know about you guys. You guys probably have it figured out, but I don't. There's times I need help with that. And God, the creator of the universe, realizes we need help with that. We need his help. So hence the promise, I will come to you. He's going to help us every step of the way. And our love response is evident. It's not hidden. Our life's response, as a face reflects a face, or as a face reflects a man's face, so does his heart reflect the man, it says in Proverbs. What we do. And what we do, God wants us to imitate him. He wants us by his spirit. He gives us help so that we would be more like him. He deposits his spirit in us. This morning I had breakfast with my one-year-old grandson. And he sat across from the table with me, and like any good grandpa, I started making faces at him. And I just started, you know, I was going like this. And pretty soon he was going, He's laughing. He would just do what I said. We just had so much fun. We didn't say anything, but I was just making motions at him, and he would respond. You know, he would do what I would do. And I've had kids. I've raised three children as well, and I know some of the things they've done that I taught them I wish they wouldn't have done. They imitate us, and God, as a good father, he wants us to do what he does. He wants us to keep his commands, and when we do, that's a love response. It's evident. There's relationship. God, you've shown, you reveal yourself to me, and as I respond to that, that's real. That's putting teeth in it. That's an actuality. That's a stepping into relationship with God. That if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And it's a fair measure of our love. I think it's a fair measure if we do what he tells you to. You know, our love for Jesus, you know, it can have sentiment and passion. And that's good. That's important. But it always must be connected to keeping his commands. There's a role of obedience that we have, or it really isn't love at all. And just say, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, I love you, I love you, I love you. Well, let's see it. I think God loves it when we respond to him. And that's my first point. A way to welcome God is just by keeping his commands. I should actually be, that's point one, keep his commands. I like this quote from A.W. Tozer. It says, "It is altogether doubtful whether man can be saved who comes to Christ for his help with no intention to obey him." You know, there's a love response. There's a walking in what God tells us to do. We need to give him authority. That's difficult for us, but there's a repenting and turning to God where we just, you are Lord, where we give him lordship in our life. There's an authority transfer when we realize, you know what, I am not God. And there is a God, and there's a repentance, and we turn and give him lordship. You are God. I give you authority. I give you the position of headship in my life. And that's the first step in our relationship. Have you done that? Does he have authority? Does the Creator have lordship of your life? Or do you take it on yourself? Because that's what mankind normally does. I'll do it myself. We're not ready to receive his help, but he stands ready to give it to us, and we need to give him lordship. Let's continue on. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Read with me in the words of Jesus. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." Oh my goodness, this is incredible. Let's start with verse 16. We see a still shot of the Trinity. Jesus, "I will ask the Father." God the Son, Jesus. "I will ask God the Father." There's a relationship there. God the Son, Jesus, having relationship with God the Father. And what's he praying for? God the Holy Spirit. To send the helper. What a beautiful still shot. Is there they are, all three of them. Wow. God the Son, asking the Father. God the Father. You give God the Holy Spirit. Another helper. God the helper. The Holy Spirit, that's Jesus informing disciples at this time that this is going to happen, how I'm going to transform myself, how you see the transgression or the furtherance of myself. It's really incredible that God says, then look down there, he says, "For he dwells with you." So Jesus himself is speaking, Jesus says, "I am with you right now, for he dwells with you." and I will come to you. He's going to say in a minute here, he's just saying, you are going to be invited into relationship with me. That's what God's saying here. It's almost unfathomable way. We are invited into that still shot. There's room for us. And God, the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, in one, we're invited his body into that. And we all stand there with the invitation. And we're looking at it. boy, should I go or not? Should I be a part of this or not? Because everyone's invited. And there we stand. Oh, yes, go! Why wouldn't you go? God the Father, God the Son, the Spirit God, the Creator of the universe says, you're invited to be a part. Or you can be with me. I can be with you forever. These scriptures that we find ourselves in this morning, just incredible. Let's focus a little bit on the Helper. So in this portion, God is, he's revealing the Holy Spirit. He is showing a transformation of himself. He's explaining this is how it's going to unfold. And it's such a huge, deep idea that sometimes we just miss it. It just goes, boink. The Helper. Let's look at the Helper. The helper translates the ancient Greek word parakletos. This means a person summoned to one's aid and may refer to an advisor, a legal defender, a mediator. And Jesus makes it clear. He will give you another helper. God is talking about himself. I am going to help you. I'm going to take care of things all along the way. He doesn't leave us in a lurch. And here's a big question for you. Do you believe in God's promises? Do you believe that God will do what he says he will do? He said, I will give you a helper. I will come to you. Do you believe in God's promise? Do you believe that God is a promise keeper? Have you ever known God to renege on a promise to you? Has he ever reneged a promise to you? No! If you think so, come and talk to me. You can't prove it to me. You can't. God is a promise keeper. He does what he says he's going to do. He did it all the way to the cross. He stepped in humility. It allowed himself to be crucified. Unbelievable. That's our God. He does exactly what he says he's going to do. I don't know a whole lot of people like that. Oh, I'm so thankful. I can hardly contain myself. He is the promise of the Holy Spirit. He just says, I am who I am. I will. I do. I have. God. Oh, my goodness. Continue on, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. Don't miss it, folks. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Can you hear God talking to you personally? Not me, the God of the universe, under the authority of Scripture, he is speaking to us. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Oh my goodness. Somehow, I in you? Somehow, God promises the Helper that he will deposit his Spirit, himself, in us. There it is. I will help you. Every step, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Sometimes you may feel like an orphan, but you are not. God says, I will step in. I'm not going to leave you as orphans, and I will give you help. Last week, Caleb talked about, remember he talked about chapter 14, verse 3. how Jesus promised he was gonna prepare a place for us, and it's most likely not gonna be an old shanty. Remember how Caleb painted a picture of how just absolutely phenomenal, absolutely breathtaking, absolutely incredible, pinch me so I'm awake type of thing is that God himself. Let's just read what Jesus said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. There's a Valentine's for you. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The promise of heaven is oh so palatable. It's almost hard for us to believe, but we need to believe it. We need to glom onto it. We need to understand this is true. God will do exactly what he says he's going to do. He does have a good plan for you and a future and a hope, and he will prepare a place. If you know him, if you come to a place where you have a relationship with him, that's your destiny. Eternity is our destiny. Thank you, Jesus. That's true this morning. It's what we strive for. Our very hope is in Jesus. Our very hope, everything is in Jesus. And he comes through. He knows that. He knows that's the best thing for us is he. You know, at the very core of our humanity, or who we are, we really remain helpless. At the very core, really, of humanity, we are helpless. That probably doesn't make you feel so good. Or are we? No. God himself said he will send the helper. You are not helpless. God has promised himself to us. No matter what you're going through, no matter how confusion might have you in a place of doubt in your faith, God steps in, and even the helper helps us with our doubt. Man, God knew we would need him every step of the way. He doesn't hold anything back. He knows exactly what we need. I like this quote from Philip Yancey. Grace does not depend on what we have done for God, but rather what God has done for us. Ask people what they must do to get to heaven, and most reply, be good. He continues to say, Jesus' stories contradict that answer. All we must do is cry, help. He does it all. There's nothing we can do to get closer to Jesus. He does it all so that we can be with him, so that he can give himself to us, so that we can be a part of that Trinity, so we can be a part of him. Oh, my goodness. He's thought of everything, and he listens to us. I like this psalm from Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2. It says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. Do you know God hears you? Do you believe that? I do. I talk to him every day. Not enough, I'm sure. Why would I leave that on a shelf? Why don't we talk to him more? God, help us with that. Because he inclined his ear to me. To me, little old me? God inclines his ear to me? Go ahead, little man. Speak to me. God, you know me, you know my thoughts, you know my innermost being. He knows us, he hears us. And I think it's wise to plead for mercy. Are we done? Are we a finished product just because we're a believer? No. God's at work. Certainly, he started something that he's promised to complete, but we need his mercy day by day. And thank goodness in the Bible it says that his mercies are new each day. There's a fresh set of mercies there for me. And boy, do I need them. Because I blew it that day. Or I blew it yesterday. I blew it this morning. But God says, there's mercy. My grace will help you in this day. I think that, honestly, we don't think we need help a lot of times. There's shame in that or something, because to ask for help, people can get confused that maybe, oh, I'm not going to ask somebody to help me with this. I'll just do it myself. I personally struggle with this. Maybe you guys don't. You're all giving me kind of a blank stare, but I think maybe if we're honest, we struggle with asking for help, and some people don't. Some people got that figured out, but we just come to a place where, for me, in marriage and parenting, especially if I'm blowing it, I had this argument with my wife. I'm certainly not going to ask my buddy to help. What would you do, when it's really the most sensible thing to do is just be honest and transparent with somebody and say, help. I'm struggling here, or with your parenting. I'm struggling with my parenting. We did this and that. I'll just gut it out. Why would I ask for help? I can figure it out. Or me, like if I'm moving a refrigerator or something, for some reason I think I have to do it myself, and then my poor wife ends up having to help me. God's right there. He hears us. We can turn to him and ask for help. In fact, I think that delights him. He created us to respond to him, to have relationship to him, depend on him, not to depend on ourselves, to be dependent on him, to be just incredibly desperate for him is really our proper position. God, oh boy, do I need you. It takes a measure of humility. And I personally need to grow in that, I think. Many of us probably do. Verse 21, moving on here. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Oh my goodness, more deep truths. To manifest is generally the translation of phanero, and I don't know, I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, but to make apparent, to manifest, to make apparent. To it's really the reveal where God showed, here I am, so that you can see God. Really, as he manifests himself from God the Father, to God the Son, to God the Holy Spirit, he shows himself to him, making himself approachable, making himself real, making himself available for this relationship, a relationship that we as humans can understand, so that we can get it. God is it's just almost like, oh man, that's so incredible. But he's doing, he's manifesting himself so that we can see him. God was manifest in the flesh as Jesus. Come to the earth for us. He demonstrated his love for us. And yet while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. All of that fits together in his manifestation of his revealing himself to us. It all fits together. And it's all God. And he wants us to understand him more and more and more. So he goes the nines. He goes the distance. He does exactly what has to be done. And only God knows how to do that. And I'm so thankful for that. Have you ever, most of us, I think, in our lives have probably had an aha moment. Even if you're not a believer, there's probably could have been a time in your life where you thought, well, at the very least, there's a higher being involved in here. Involved in this situation. And oh my goodness, is there? Isn't there? There is a creator. I know I personally have times where it's almost like God was standing there going, hi there! I cannot believe that. God, you're so personal that you did that for me. There's been times where he's just met me where I was the only one that understood that what was going on. Excuse me. I've had the privilege to be on a couple of mission trips with some friends in different places we've gone, and we were doing a concert in a city in Poland once, and I met this guy who's a sound tech, and I like sound techs. I like talking with them and getting to know them a little bit, and I met this guy. He's actually from Paris. His name was Francesco, so I met him one year on one of our trips, and I met his wife, and they were having an argument, and I got to talk to him. I got to share the gospel with him. And we talked at length after one particular concert we had. And he was from Paris, and we exchanged niceties and talked for a long time. And I don't know if he received Jesus or not, but we had a long talk about my Savior. We hugged it up and left. And of course, our band was traveling along, so we left. 3 years later, Francesco from Paris is in Poland again. We're in Poland again with a band again. 3 years later, our band shows up. We're setting everything up, and the band's playing. I look over. This man approaches me, and honestly, I didn't really remember him. I have that problem at times. But he came up to me, and he said, "I'm Francesco. Remember last time you were here 3 years ago, and you had a concert, and you shared the gospel with me?" And I'm like, "That to me, that was like, hi, God. You are just a visual of what's God doing." And I started talking to him, and his wife's parents lived in the apartments behind us. So he said, "I want to go get my wife, excuse me, and my father-in-law." So he brings his father-in-law. It's like a party, like a reunion. And he brought it. Everybody came down. We talked, and we hugged it up. And, oh, maybe if we come in 2 or 3 years again, maybe we'll meet again. Maybe I'll see you again, Francesco. But there are times, and maybe you've had experiences like that yourself, where God just makes it apparent to you. Maybe in just a humorous sort of way. I had a disagreement with some saints that I dearly loved. And we had a disagreement, and actually, eventually, they ended up moving on. They left the church. This is quite a few years ago, years and years ago. And my kids were still little, and we found ourselves at Disneyland. And this couple, my wife, we did all we could. We kept going back and saying, "You know what? How can we work through this? You took them cookies. I love you. Let's just agree to disagree and move on." But it was just this thing, crazy, that we couldn't seem to work through. We were at Disneyland, and with my family, and there they are with their family. And where did we meet? It's a small world after all. We're in line at Disneyland. It's a small world after all. And I just looked over at him and said, "It's a small world after all, isn't it? It's really good to see you guys. I'm glad you're here." And we just, God just has ways of saying, "I'm real, and I am in everything, and I will show you myself over here, and I will show you over here. Did you see that sunrise?" I did that. That baby that was born, your child, I'm God. I did that. He has this way. Just here he is. There he is. He manifests him. He shows himself to us. And oftentimes I think we just don't see the forest for the trees because we're trying to make our own thing. Verse 22, moving on. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Oh my goodness, just, to me, that, I don't know, that's just so personal to me. Maybe I'm the only one that sees that, but God the Father, just give me a hug, and we will come to him, and we'll make our home with him. Thank you. We will come to him. It's just that promise again. I will come to you. We will come to you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we will come to you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that. Verse 24, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Here it is again. "And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Jesus is describing again the Godhead. You know, this morning I read in my quiet time in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, and it's in NLT, actually. Let me just read it to you. I thought it was beautiful, and I thought it was appropriate for this point. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. Let me just read it again. I know I stumbled my words there a little bit. So the Lord must wait for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion. For the Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait. God, wait. See, there's this response that God initiates. He wants this response, I think. And that's the second point, this reciprocate love. Receive God, this responding to God. He's shown himself clearly. We're standing there holding the invitation, and there's a role, I think, that we respond to God. A lover must respond. God has initiated. He wants a response from us. He wants a relationship. He initiates. He wants us to step into that. I think in many ways, that's a role that we carry. I like this quote from D.L. Moody. It says, "Some people think God does not like to be troubled with our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come at all." I agree, man. Are you coming before the Lord? One of my favorite verses is Psalm 37:4. It says, "Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." Ultimately, I kind of lost my place there a little bit. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Continuing on here, verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So again, God doesn't leave us hanging. The gifts he grants us, it's not an exemption from the storms of life, really. The gifts, he doesn't promise us like a treasure chest full of money, a fortune for us as his followers. The gifts that he gives to us is the Holy Spirit and the presence of his peace. That's what he offers. Holy Spirit offers himself and the presence of his peace. The Helper will teach you all things, he says. I'm so thankful for that. I need to be taught. I don't understand everything. I need God's help. We all need God's help. We need the Helper to reveal himself to us. Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And God is the good Father he is. He's just, neither let them be afraid. Really, the phrase, "do not be afraid," can be found in the Bible 365 times. You have a promise every day. You have encouragement from God for every day of the year. Do not be afraid. I will come to you. I'll promise you myself, the Helper, to help you. And peace. You can have peace with me. Those are promises from God. As believers, those of you who are believers, we should stand on that. We should just grip that and be delighted in that and rejoice in that. It's another quote from C.S. Lewis. "God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There's no such thing." Think about that. We strive for things that are from the world. Jesus himself said in the verse before, "Not as the world gives do I give." Not as the world gives do I give. How does the world give? Well, there's empty promises that fame or certain things will bring us happiness or comfort. Or looking for things outside of God, idols, things that distract us from God. The world would promise that that's where you will get satisfaction. Truth is, it's just empty. The only place we really find true joy and hope and fulfillment is in Christ. Rejoice. And I've shared with this before that what that means is just delight in God's grace. And that's the third point, a way to welcome God. Just rejoice. Delight in His grace. God doesn't want us going around, you know, I am such a loser. I'm a loser dude. Look at me. That's not the Christian's role. You know, if we really comprehend the hallelujah of what's happened, of God manifesting Himself, if we really get our arms and understand what God is speaking to us, what Jesus Himself, God Himself is speaking to us, is that we have it. We have Him. He didn't keep Himself from us. He totally committed to us everything. He didn't hold back. He gave us all. And that's what's true today. I'm so thankful for that. Verses 28 and 29. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. Oh, there it is again. You heard me say to you, he's talking directly to his disciples, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. There it is again, the promise. Don't miss it. And I will come to you is not only a promise to his disciples in this particular situation, but that promise is for us. You know, it's probably hard for the disciples to believe, but Jesus' departure was really best. It was best for Jesus, best for the disciples, best for the world. Jesus wants the disciples to realize this, and so he says, if you love me, you would rejoice. It's the best thing for me to do this, that he would return to God the Father. Now, there's a place there again, if you'll notice, in verse 28 there, it says, because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And Jesus himself, we have to remember that the nature of Jesus, he's fully man and fully God. He reveals himself as fully man and fully God. So it's not that he's lesser than God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God. We see that clearly in Scripture, and he's really... In this section of verses, John is reporting that's exactly what God or what Jesus is saying is that I am God. But remember, he's fully man, and that's what makes him, if you will, lower than God, is he's fully man, and he's going to be with God. So at this point, it's not that he's less or not that he's not God. He's fully God. But that humanity makes him lower than God. He's got that. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. So God is just lovingly just revealing himself, just unfolding so that you and I might know him, that we'd be excited about what he's doing. Verse chapter 14, verse 30. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. So again, we're running out of time here, but this is good. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. I just want to highlight and put an explanation point on the fact the ruler of the world has nothing. Has nothing in me. Jesus is saying there's no authority there. He's talking about the enemy, the evil one. He has no authority. Jesus says the ruler of this world has no authority. And it's an amazing statement. Jesus declares that Satan has absolutely no hook, no foothold, no toehold of deception in him. Satan isn't pushing Jesus to the cross. Make that clear that Jesus is willingly submitting to the Father, and he ultimately demonstrates the kind of humility necessary for relationship with him. That Satan isn't pushing him to the cross. God himself is willingly, in humility, going to the cross for mankind to die the death that had to happen for us because he loves us. So he willingly goes, and here's something really incredible. Listen to me now. The ruler of this world has nothing in us either. If you know Jesus, the ruler of this world has nothing in us either. Christian, nothing. Hallelujah. The ruler of this world has no hook on us. We need to claim that, believe it, and walk in it. Oftentimes, it's just so easily we are deceived and we shrink back. Truth is, no hook. The enemy doesn't have a hook in us. We see him all over, and it's sometimes pretty startling. But we are victorious in Christ. And boy, we need to be reminded of that. Peace cannot live in a shelter of doubt and unbelief. It just can't. Peace thrives in openness and trust. That's what's true this morning. Peace thrives as we trust God. It thrives. Our lives thrive. God manifests himself in us. The helper, the Spirit, Holy Spirit is given to us. And God reveals himself through us. Wow! Oh, such good life-changing truth. There's a quote from Watchman Nee. Any victory that does not more than conquer is just an imitation victory. While we are suppressing and wrestling, we are only imitating victory. If Christ lives in us, we will rejoice in everything, and we will thank and praise the Lord. We will say, hallelujah, praise the Lord forever. I think that's a good quote. Would you say it with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. We have victory. So just a quick recap, three ways to welcome God. God's initiated. All right, I will come. He has come. We stand with the invitation. Maybe you haven't received or responded to God yet. Maybe today's your day to do that. And I'd love to talk to you about that. If you don't feel like you have a relationship with Jesus yet, please, I beg of you, come and talk to me or somebody that knows Jesus in this room. You can sort that out. Someone might help you with that. God might manifest himself through one of us to reveal himself to you. You do not have to live in unbelief. God wants you to know him. And in this section of scriptures, Jesus himself, at the very least, you go home and study this yourself. Read John. Read his word. You don't have to take my word for it. Take God's word for it. So that he might grip you. So you might know him. So that you might walk in victory. And it's more than just a skirmish and a battle that you win. It's for eternity. You can either be with him for eternity or separate for eternity. Have you settled that matter? Do you have peace? Do you know him? If you're to die today, which trajectory are you on? In Christ or apart from Christ? For eternity. That's forever, by the way. That's big. That's everything. It really is. All the other stuff we'll deal with today is really small potatoes. The big thing is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him? I hope so. My prayer is that you do and that you would come to know him. Three ways to welcome him: keep his commands, do what he tells you to do, reciprocate love, respond. There's a response to God's love. He's initiated. Have you responded to him? Do you know him? Just rejoice. Be delighted in God's grace. I'm just going to close with a prayer, and we'll sing a couple more songs together. God, I'm just delighted. I love you. I thank you for the Bible. I thank you that you didn't hide yourself from us. I thank you, God, that you speak to us directly, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you, that you would manifest yourself in a real way that would just stop them in their tracks. Jesus, in your name, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you would save more. The more people that come to know you, anyone in this room that doesn't know you would come to know you, Lord. And any of us that do know you, Lord, our lives would look different. We would walk in victory and we would tell more people about you. God, I pray you just use our lives in just a profound, amazing way that only you can. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time to be with my friends. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.